something like the shape, yeah. The thing, the round earth. You look at it, but you do not concentrate on its characteristic, the hardness or softness, and you do not look at the color, or you do not take care of the color, but just what is called earth by people. And then you look at it, and then you say, you say many times. So here it said, that conceptual state can be called by anyone he likes among the names for earth. You know, there are many words for the earth. And there are synonyms. So you can use any synonym for the earth. In English, there may be not as many as there are in Pali language. So in Pali, there is the word Pachavi, and then Mahi, and then Medini, and Bhumi, Vasudha, and Vasundara. So there are many words for the word earth in English. So any one of them can be used. You look at the disc and you say, in Pali, Pachavi, Pachavi, Pachavi. Or say, oh, Vasudha, Vasudha, Vasudha. Whatever what you say, it just means the earth. Whichever suits his manner of perception. Still, earth is also, that is on page 130, still earth is also a name that is obvious. The sentence really means, earth is a name that is commonly used. So you can just use the word Pachavi, and not the other words. That is what is meant here. So the earth is not, I think, also is not needed here. Still, earth is a name that is obvious. So it can be developed with the obvious one by saying earth, that means Pachavi, Pachavi, Pachavi. And then you look at it, open your eyes, and say Pachavi, I mean earth, 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 and then you close your eyes and try to memorize it, and then you open the eyes again, and then close your eyes, and so in this way, you practice meditation, you try to memorize this image, the sign or image of the earth, until you get it in your mind, until you can see it in your mind, without looking at it. And that is the time when you are said to have got it is called learning sign here. That means the abstract sign or, let us say, memorized sign. So after you get the memorized sign, then you leave that place and go to your own place and practice there. And that is because if you look at the disc and practice again and again, it is said that you cannot get the counterpart sign. Counterpart sign is finer than the memorized sign. So in order to get the counterpart sign, you have to practice it in your mind and not looking at the thing itself. And in order not to see the thing, not to look at the thing, you get away from it also. Because if it is close to it, you cannot help looking at it. So you just leave it there and go back to your own place and practice meditation there, memorizing or seeing the sign in your mind and dwelling on it again and again and again, until it becomes refined and changed into what is called a counterpart sign.
But you're not memorizing, you're not visualizing earth.
Yes,
earth,
you are.
The word earth?
Oh, no, not the word. No. But the thing. The thing we call the earth.
So counterpart is your mental image.
Mental image, that's right. Yeah. And that the first mental image is called, say, the learning sign. And that image appears as the real thing is. And then you dwell on it again and again in your mind, and it changes into a counterpart sign. When it changes into a counterpart sign, it is refined, and so it is very smooth and very shining. And during the memorized sign, whatever faults there are on the disc also appear in your mind. But when you reach the counterpart stage of counterpart sign, these defects or the faults of the gesina disappear, and it becomes just like a polished mirror. Then you dwell on it again and again until you reach first the excess concentration and then jhana concentration. You know, there are two kinds of concentration, excess concentration and absorption concentration. So excess concentration is the one you get before you reach the stage of jhana. So they are described in paragraph 32, 33 and so on. So there are two kinds of concentration, excess concentration and absorption concentration. The mind becomes concentrated in two ways, that is on the plane of excess and on the plane of obtainment. Obtainment really means jhana concentration. The mind becomes concentrated on the plane of excess by the abandoning of the hindrances. When you can get rid of hindrances, sensual desire, anger, sloth and torpor, agitation and remorse and doubt. These are the five hindrances. So when you can get rid of these five hindrances and your mind is on the object, then you are said to get to the plane of excess concentration. And when you reach the jhana stage, then you are said to obtain the absorption concentration. So the difference between these two kinds of concentration is this. The factors are not strong in excess. So during the time of excess concentration, the factors means the mental states accompanying that consciousness of practicing meditation. These factors are not strong enough. Because they are not strong enough, your mind lapses us into life continuum or bhavanga, and then go to the object again, and then left to bhavanga again, because the factors there are not so strong. When you reach the jhana stage, then you can be on that, your mind can be on that object for a whole day, for a whole night, without being distracted to any other object, because they are strong at that time, the mental states accompanying the consciousness. So these are the two kinds of concentration. So when you reach the excess or jhana concentration, then you reach to one stage of the practice of meditation. But before, if you can get to the absorption stage easily, it is good. But if you cannot, then you have to do something here. So, and the thing, what you have to do here is guarding the sign. That means you have got the counterpart sign, and you have to keep it with you, keep it in your mind, not let it slip away from your mind. And you have to do something to guard the sign. And actually, you have to avoid seven things which are unsuitable, and seven things which are suitable. And seven things which are unsuitable are the abode, resort, speech, person, food, climate, and the posture. if living in a place, you practice meditation and you lose the sign, then it is not a good place for you, it is not suitable for you. So something like that with the others too. Resort really means a village where monks go for alms, so that is called a resort. So it should not be too far And here also on page 133, paragraph 37, there is a word, K-O-S-A, kosa, one kosa and a half. One kosa is about 2 miles. So one kosa and a half means about 3 miles. And then speech means talking. So if you talk too much and if you talk nonsense, then you will lose what you have got, the counterpart sign. So you have to be restraining in your talks. And then person, one not given to aimless talk, who has the special qualities of virtue, etc., by acquaintanceship with whom the unconcentrated mind becomes concentrated, or the concentrated mind more so is suitable. One who is much concerned with his body, pays too much attention to his body, and who is addicted to aimless talk is unsuitable. So such persons are unsuitable persons, so you have to avoid them.
But when you say pays too much attention to the body, what's too much attention? Does that mean not exercising the body?
In the footnote you said that one who is occupied with exercising and caring for the body, that means be too much concerned with the exercise or too much concerned with his body. But you need to have some kind of exercise to keep your body in good shape.
Do yoga practices as part of the practice?
I don't know, but I think yoga practices are good for keeping your body in good shape. So it may be permissible to practice yoga postures or whatever with concentration or with mindfulness or meditation. But some people are too much concerned about their bodies. So I think that is what is meant here. Because we have to pay proper attention to our physical bodies. If our physical bodies are not in good shape, we cannot practice meditation. So such persons are to be avoided, because even the attainment, even the jhanas can disappear if you associate with such persons who talk aimlessly and who pay too much attention to the bodies and so on. And then food. For some sweet food is suitable, and for others sour food is suitable, and so on. So you need to get suitable food to keep the counterpart sign from disappearing from you. And climate, a good climate suits, a cool climate suits one, a warm climate another. So that's also, that is why we need some kind of comfort to practice meditation. We need to eat food which is suitable for us, and then we need to be in a suitable climate, not too cold and not too warm, and so on. And then posture. Now you can choose a posture which is best for you, walking or sitting, but maybe not lying down. So if walking suits you, then you walk, and if sitting suits you, you can practice sitting. But here, lying down is also given.
Is that something that the monk decides for himself, or the teacher decides?
Here, the monk decides for himself. You know, you have to try it for 3 days. He said, like the abode, for 3 days each. So try walking 3 days, sitting 3 days, and so on, and then decide which is best for you, and then you do that. So if after avoiding the seven which are not suitable and taking which are suitable, and you cannot get jhana or absorption, then you have to go through these 10 skills in absorption. And the first one is making the basis clean. Actually, this is keeping your body clean and also keeping the place clean. So internal cleanliness and external cleanliness. So meditation room needs to be clean and neat, and also our body should be clean. That is why a few pages before it said that you take bath and then you practice meditation. I think it is also important, keeping the bases clean. So when our bodies are clean, then we have more chance to get concentration. And so also when the place is clean and neat and not too crowded with many things, then it's conducive to meditation or concentration. So making the bases clean. And number two is maintaining balanced faculties. It is very important. Now, when we practice meditation, there are said to be five faculties or five working factors, and they are faith or confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and understanding. These are the five faculties. So these five faculties should be balanced so that we get a good concentration, or we get the absorption or jhana, and also if we practice vipassana, the realization of truth. So there must be balancing of these faculties. If any one of these faculties is in excess, then the others cannot do their functions well. So they must be functioning well when they are working together. So one must not exceed another. And especially, in that case, the faith faculty should be modified either. If there is too much faith, too much confidence, then you have to reduce it by reviewing the individual essence of the state. That means if you have too much faith on the Buddha, or if you have too much faith on your teacher, then you have to review the Buddha or the teacher, the impermanence of this. See, they are not permanent, and they will go away one day, and so you get less attachment or less devotion to them, because if there is too much devotion, then you cannot practice meditation. And if there is too much energy, you cannot practice meditation either. And so there are two stories given here. One is of Elder Wakali, and the other is of Elder Sona. Elder Wakali is the one who had too much faith in the Buddha, who was too devoted to the Buddha that he did not practice meditation. So Buddha had to shake him up, and Buddha dismissed him, "Don't come to me," or something like that. What is the good of looking at my putrid body, or something like that? And the Buddha dismissed him. So he was so sorry that he decided to kill himself by jumping off a cliff. So when he was about to jump, Buddha sent his rays and then preached to him. And so that is the story of Wakali. So I brought the story of Wakali here in case you don't have this book at the library. I don't know. Here's a Buddhist legends.
I think we do.
Oh, very good.
I'll put it on reserve. Buddhist legends?
Yes. And the other story is about Elder Sona, who made too much effort and so could not achieve anything in the beginning. He was a son of a very rich man, and it is said that he was very, very, very soft in his body, and so he's very delicate, and so delicate that the hairs grow on his palms and soles of his feet, it is said. So when he became a monk, he said, "I must make much effort in order to achieve attainment," And so he woke up and down during the night, and he couldn't, and he was he put too much effort walking up and down that he couldn't get any concentration, and there were blisters on his soles. And so after practicing for some time, he decided to leave the order and go back to lay life. So Buddha knew this, and Buddha went to him and talked to him with the simile of a harp or something. If the strings are too tight, you cannot get good sound, and if they are too loose, you cannot get good sound, and so on. So this can be found in the Book of Discipline and Gradual Sayings. I'll give you the page number. Please write them down if you want to read the story in full. Book of Discipline, Part 4, or Volume 4, page 236 and following. And Gradual Sayings, Volume 3, page 266 and following.
266?
Yes. Book of Discipline, 4th volume, 236. So, when one is too strong, the others cannot perform their respective functions, not several, respective functions. They have their respective functions. The faith, there's one function, and effort is another function, and so on. So, when one is too strong, the other cannot perform their respective functions. And particularly recommended is balancing faith with understanding and concentration with energy. These are the most important. So, balancing faith with understanding and concentration with energy. If you have too much faith, then you will believe anything. You will believe in what you ought not to believe. And so you'll be led astray by those who deceive people. And if your understanding is too strong, if you are too wise, then you tend to become cunning. Or maybe tricky. So these two have to be balanced. Not too much faith and not too much understanding or wisdom. And then concentration and energy should also be balanced. If there is too much concentration, you tend to become lazy. And if there is too much energy, you tend to become agitated. And in both ways, you lose concentration. Now, paragraph 48, that is important. Because the author said that there should be balance of faculties. And then particularly recommended is the balancing of faith with understanding and concentration with energy. Now he is going to give another explanation, different from the above paragraphs. So here, the translation is a little not what it should be. So the paragraph 48 says differently from what has been said above. So what has been said above is that faith should be balanced with understanding and concentration should be balanced with energy. But here it is said that a person who is practicing samatha, for a person who is practicing samatha meditation, faith, even strong, is suitable or permissible. So if faith is stronger than other factors, it is still good, permissible. Because by faith, he will make effort and get what he wants. That is, get concentration and absorption or jhana. And then, with regard to concentration and understanding, now, not concentration and energy, here, concentration and understanding. For one practicing samatha meditation, concentration can be stronger. When you are practicing samatha meditation, then concentration stronger is permissible, stronger is good. Because by the strong concentration, you will get to absorption, you will get to the jhana stage. And one for one working on insight, that is practicing vipassana meditation, understanding stronger is permissible, or understanding should be stronger, could be stronger. Because with that understanding or penetrative knowledge, you will reach the penetration of characteristics, that means the impermanence, suffering and soullessness. So, for one who is practicing samatha meditation, a stronger concentration is permissible, and for one who is practicing vipassana meditation, stronger understanding is permissible. But with the balancing of the two, he reaches absorption as well. We can ask, what if they are balanced? It's okay. When they are balanced, he can get absorption as well. He can get jhana concentration, jhana absorption. Now, when you practice meditation and you are trying to get jhana, then there can be stronger concentration. It's okay. But when you practice meditation to get to the supramundane attainment, then the balancing of the faculties is a must. So this is what is meant in this paragraph. So the translation here is not quite like that. So it is different from what has been said above. Above it is said that the faculties should be balanced. But in this paragraph it says, even though they are not balanced, not perfectly balanced, it's still okay. Then what about mindfulness? Mindfulness is needed everywhere. Mindfulness is like a seasoning of salt in all dishes. So there is no instance where mindfulness is in excess. So mindfulness is always needed.
The concentration used in 48 and 47 is shamatha. It's not jhana or samadhi.
Concentration in 47 is samadhi.
In 47 is samadhi.
Yeah. But in 48,
it's shamatha.
One working on concentration means one practicing samatha meditation.
Okay.
For him, samadhi can be stronger than panya, something like that.
What do you mean by samadhi?
Concentration.
Samadhi, jhana and shamatha can be translated as concentration,
yeah,
in different contexts.
Yes.
And they're all slightly different.
What do you mean by samadhi as contrasted with shamatha?
I was trying to see which the translation was using. By using concentration.
What is the difference?
In Pali, samatha and samadhi can be synonymous. It is a concentration of mind, or samatha is translated as tranquility. But samatha and samadhi can be synonymous. But samadhi is maybe wider than samatha, because in vipassana also we need samadhi. So samadhi is the ability of the mind to be stuck to the object, to be on the object.
That's samadhi.
Yeah. And samatha is defined as the stilling of hindrances, or getting rid of hindrances, something like that. But they are used synonymously in some contexts, samatha and samadhi. And concentration here sometimes means samatha, and sometimes it really means samadhi.
And samatha has a fixed object, and samadhi can have either a fixed or a variable object.
That's right, yes. Because samadhi in vipassana meditation doesn't have fixed object. Although if you can be on a fixed object, it is better. But since when you practice vipassana meditation, you have to be mindful of everything that becomes prominent at the present moment, then the object cannot be fixed.
And jhana in this, with these definitions, is a particularly developed kind of shamatha concentration.
Jhana is in the realm of samatha meditation. Then there are others, skill in the sign, and then the exert the mind on an occasion when it should be exerted, and so on. Now, on our way, we talk about the book called the Way of Mindfulness. Yeah. Now, for some details with regard to some paragraphs, I would like to refer to that book. So, for details on the paragraph 54, you may read that book, The Way of Mindfulness by Soma Thera, S-O-M-A. So, I'll give you a page number also, 175 of that book.
I'll put these books on reserve downstairs.
Do we have that book?
I think we do, but I don't check. I'm pretty sure we do.
And then for paragraph 55 also, then that book, page 181, and so on. And in that paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4th line, the mundane and supramundane distinctions. Mundane distinctions means attainment of jhana. And supramundane distinction means attainment of enlightenment. So distinction here means jhanas and enlightenment. And then for paragraph 56, you may read that book, Way of Mindfulness, page 185. And then for paragraph 60, Way of Mindfulness, 186. And paragraph 61, Way of Mindfulness, 187. And paragraph 62, 189. So here I describe how to exert the mind on occasions and how to restrain or how to suppress the mind on occasions. And so if a person cannot get absorption just by avoiding the seven that are unsuitable, then he should do these 10 things. Skill in absorption. Skill in absorption means skill in getting or reaching absorption. So these 10 things he should do, and even at that stage he after after acquiring skill in the ten skills, he could not reach the jhana stage, then he should not despair, but he should he should do what is called equalizing the effort or energy and concentration. So the verses just mean that. Let me see where. Here, no matter how small at all, a man wise in temperament notices how his mind can plan. Energy and serenity, always he couples each to each. So he should balance these two. And then the commentator gives five similes. In this edition, the word is four, not five, but it should be five. I think you have five there on page 141. It is corrected in the other edition. But in that book, you have four and not five.
Four?
Four?
Yeah.
Oh. But it should be five. You can just
five.
One.
I have five.
Yes, but the five is correct, because if you read them, then you get five similes there. So the first is the bee, say, getting a pollen, and the second is the say medical student practicing surgery on a lotus leaf. And the third is taking the spider's thread or spider's web. And the fourth is what? The ship. The
skipper.
The skipper, yes. And the fifth is all two. So there are five similes given here. And also, at the beginning of the first simile, when a too clever bee, now, there is a variant reading, which means just not clever. So we can take any. Even if we take too clever, it doesn't hurt the meaning. So when a too clever bee, or just when a not clever bee, the same with the other similes. So it gives these five similes. And these five similes are just to teach us that we must not be too eager or too lax in our efforts. So we must equalize, or we must balance concentration with energy. And if we can keep energy and concentration on the same level, then we will get what we are striving for, or we will get the absorption stage. So next week we'll go to the jhana, the first jhana.
The reason that the first meditation is on the earth kasina is because it's an easy concentration. It's it's a natural concentration, or it's
it, yeah. For those who have had experience in the past, they come naturally. They just look at the earth, and then they got the sign. And with other types of kasinas, sometimes you just look at a pond or water, and then you get the sign. So it is like natural.
Absorption using earth kasina, is there great variation?
There may be variation between one individual and another. It depends on how he practices, and also how much past experience he had.
And Are there pictures of casinos so we could see a typical casino object?
I have a color casino. I can bring it next time or next week. Okay. Because color casino is easier to make than earth casino.
Yeah.
So you find a board and then paint it, you know, blue, red. Yellow, red or white. There is one lady who is actually practicing Kala Kasina. She lives in Marin County. She wanted to practice Metta meditation, and so I suggested she practice the white Kasina meditation first, and then get the conceptualized image of that disc, and then after getting that, she could put anybody in that disc and then practice loving kindness to that person. That's effective. I don't know how far she has gone in this meditation, but she said she was doing that.
Now getting the mental image clearly mentally, that's different from seeing the counterpart sign. Is that right?
You know, there are two signs. So the first one let us call a memorized sign. Mm-hmm. So you first look at it and you memorize it, and then you close your eyes and you can see as clearly as your eyes are open. But at that stage, your image is the exact image of the disc. If there are defects on the disc and they appear in your memory too, and then you concentrate on that memorized image. That is, you close your eyes and you look at that image again and again, and then it becomes more refined, and so gradually the faults disappear and it becomes smooth and clean. So that is a stage where you get the counterpart sign. So that is called a counterpart sign.
So it's transformed.
That's right.
Image or relationship.
That's right.
Experience.
Yes.
From the concentration.
Right. Yeah. So, actually, the two signs differ in degree of what do you call it? Degree of clarity.
It's also conceptualization. The second one is more conceptualized.
It is. Yeah. And the counterpart sign is also a conception. It is not not a reality, because it is perception born of your mind. So it exists in your mind, and so it is a kind of concept.
Is it something that you just know you have when you see it or attain it?
Yes, yeah. Because you alone knows that you know that you have that. Because it's in your mind. So whenever you come down and then you close your eyes and memorize it, then it will appear to you.
Is this a meditation that's done just at a particular time, or is it something that can be done, say, for the rest of your life?
Not rest of your life, but just to reach
a particular
time and to reach a certain stage of absorption. Because the Buddha's wish is for people to practice Samatha meditation as a basis for Vipassana meditation. So Samatha, first you practice Samatha meditation, and then you concentrate or you contemplate on the practice itself or on the other objects as impermanent and so on. So you go to Vipassana after you practice with samatha meditation. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Here.